Today we're in the field in California's high desert, and we're just a mile south of the Nevada border. And I'm here with Helen, Urban Nature Girl, and we just got back from the Self-Reliance show in Salt Lake City, and we're going to talk about that later. That was quite a show though, wasn't it, Helen?
Yes, it was indeed, and we saw so many things that I would like to share with our audience that that would take a whole entire show.
Yeah, we'll do that later. Yeah. That was an awesome show. We had to go through snow and rain and everything to get there.
But the drive was beautiful.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
You know, on the way back, and we decided to come here to this little town.
And not many people know about this little town.
Yes, and who would have thought there's a little town just 1 mile south of the Nevada border?
And we're 10 miles from the highway.
That's right, it's about, 10 miles east of the I-5?
10 miles east of the I-5, and it's a little town called Nipton. and it has a lot of fascinating history to it.
Yes, and the history part, it's so interesting, but it's also so complex and long. That alone is another show. But that's not why we're here. Now, Christopher, you've been here before, and there's a reason why you actually came out here to Nipton.
Right. It seems like a very unlikely place to go to, but in 1976, I believe it was, I clipped an LA Times newspaper article about a fellow they called Nipton Troll.
Nipton Troll.
Yeah, I don't remember his real name because, as usual, I forgot all my paperwork with me.
Well, we're traveling.
But this was Charles Hillinger, who was a famous journalist, and he wrote stories about odd and unusual places he saw all across the country. And somehow he learned of this guy living in these two culverts, and they called him the Nipton Troll. So the first time we came here, I just drove into Nipton and stupidly asking around for him. But it turned out
nobody knew about him.
Nobody ever heard of him. Of course, how many years ago was that? 35 years ago, some fella lived under the culvert? But he actually was 10 miles from the town out at the I-15, so that would have been 10 miles out, and the rest stop was a few miles down.
That's what the newspaper article was.
That's what the newspaper article said, right.
And now, you and I have been driving around trying to find these culverts, and
right.
We looked everywhere that could have possibly be where he stayed, because it's been over 30-some years.
Right.
We figured, well, maybe the area of the rest stop is still the same, so we drove around and couldn't really find these.
That's true. That was 35 years ago. We did find
culverts,
the rest stop.
Yeah.
We did see culverts that went under the I-15.
That was a bit too far.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe they had a different rest stop back then.
Could have been.
Yeah.
It was still a fascinating individual, which is why I wanted to just... It was a wild goose chase, just to see if we could find him and say hi to him.
Yeah, but he was kind of fascinating. From what I read, I just thought, wow, you know, here's an individual who I would consider self-reliance, because he lived off the culvert and collected resources around him, and he was a homeless person, but he wasn't doing any harm to anybody, and he was self-reliant, and he lived off the... what's available around him,
right,
in the middle of the desert. I mean, you know,
right,
more about him,
right.
So maybe...
Well, as far as I could tell, he wasn't a bum or an alcoholic, and he didn't live out in the wild desert, because as we walked around, what you see is you've got a lot of creosote bushes and some barrel cactus and some prickly pear cactus. And I didn't even see any rabbits. It would be hard to live out in this desert unless you were a highly skilled individual. But what he did do is that he went down to the rest stop, and the newspaper article said it was a 2 mile walk.
Oh,
so
nice.
This guy was, he had to be somewhat healthy to walk 2 miles each way to his home and back. And he would go into the trash cans and get old sandwiches and old newspapers, so he got his food that way. And there probably was a vending machine where he would get things to eat as well. And he had a bathroom there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter said, "Don't you feel out of touch with everybody living under the freeway in a culvert?" And he said, "No, look at this. I get the paper every day. I get the Denver paper, the LA Times, the Las Vegas paper, because people at the rest stop would throw their things away, especially from the bus when the bus came through there, and I guess they couldn't have food on the bus." So I thought he was an interesting fellow, but that's what brought us to Nipton, is just this wild goose chase. Here's this odd article about a hobo that lives here. He lives in the culvert and didn't even live in Nipton, and it brought us into this interesting little pioneer type town that looks like you could have made a Western here. right? It's
The little schoolhouse is just charming.
It looks like a movie set when you're here.
It does. It's just so cute and unreal. But what's even more fascinating is that not only is it historic and this rich history behind it, which, again, people should look it up because how this town came about and how it was formed really is fascinating. But what surprised us is that when we got here, we found out that there's something very modern and fascinating that's going on as well. And
right.
We just like, we drove by, remember? And it's like, what's that stuff? So then we found out that there's something going on with the electricity with this town.
Right.
And it's deemed to be the most solar city
in America.
In America.
Per capita. you gotta emphasize that per capita.
Okay. Let's just give some information out. The town is small, we mentioned that.
That's like what, 3,000 or 4,000 people?
No. 38 people.
So there's 38 people in Nipton.
Is the population. Now it does
it seems like when we were
more populated during the vacation season, the visitors do come,
and then
miners
might
have
probably
200
work
people
here.
Here on the weekend.
Yeah.
But really the residents, 38.
38.
However, they are 85% powered by solar.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. I bet the
85%.
Average. 85%. I wonder if Ed Begley knows that America's most solar city.
We should
is Nipton. I'm going to tell him about that.
Besides his home, you mean, like...
right. Well, you know, a funny thing is I think Ed Begley has more solar panels on his roof than the town of Nipton.
Well, we did go... That's why we wanted to come investigate more about the solar system itself, because we were here last time. We almost missed it.
Right.
And so we
because
came back.
Because it's out back of town.
It's out back of town, and we wandered.
And if you're driving by the solar installation... You drive through their power plant in about half a second, right?
Well, it's pretty quickly, and it doesn't look like the typical stereotype looking solar panels.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They weren't photovoltaic panels.
Well, they were, but they're not just photovoltaic. So mm-hmm. It was really fascinating.
Right.
It was some kind of, they call it high gain system.
Right. You were reading the website, and it said that there are these tubes. That there's something in it, and there's a round
and
trough.
And there's water, and this heating of this water, the steam also does something to a generator.
Mm-hmm.
So they call it. So it's not just a photovoltaic,
yeah,
generating the power. Also, there's some heating going on with water. That
so
that
it's powering a generator, perhaps.
So I suggest people go and look at that online because mm-hmm. it's done by, let's see, who does
yeah,
this?
We saw the name of the companies there. If we can't find it, we'll give it to you later. But they look
Skylight.
Like...
Skylight.
Oh, Skylight. Okay.
There you go.
Skylight. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think it's Skyline. We'll double verify that. We'll walk back over there. There's a sign posted right there, and we're just now sitting under a tree.
A tamarisk tree here in the desert,
oh,
which
<no.
laughs> which suck up the water in the desert.
Well, tamarisk is a really, what they thought was drought-tolerant tree, but it
which
turns
it is.
Out
yeah.
It's because it has this really, really deep roots that is pulling water from the water table, and they're thinking that it's not a good thing now because it's taking up too much of our groundwater.
But it's what's giving us some cool shade right here while we're sitting in beautiful downtown Nipton. So just to go back, the solar system looks like these horizontal.
Skyline solar.
They look like horizontal tubes,
yep.
And there's like a reflective trough underneath it, and it's designed to face the sun.
Yeah, it's very long and horizontal, and it's not the rectangular panels that
modules,
we're used to.
Yeah.
And so this is different. And it's highly productive, so I think it's really cool. I mean, well, there was like three on one side of the row and maybe a couple
mm-hmm,
more on the
mm-hmm.
other side. So it's worth checking out, but you can read about it by going on their website. And the website is www.skyline-solar.com. And then if you /Nipton, you'll go straight to the Nipton site. So worth checking out. It's really fascinating. Apparently, there are so many different types of solar system out there.
Oh, there are many, yeah.
And it's not the old stereotype big heavy glass panel as we knew it anymore. So
mm-hmm.
there are lots of options out there. I think folks should really research that before they get their own solar.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic, right? a little town out of nowhere, you know, I mean...
It's really in the middle of nowhere, literally. It's got a railroad going right by.
You shouldn't say nowhere. You should say now, well, here in the middle of the desert.
True, the middle of the desert.
We know exactly where it is, but it feels like the middle of nowhere, where it's self-efficient in terms of power.
Yeah.
85%. So if they can find a way to cut down 15% off the expenditure...
Then it's 100%.
They're 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm pretty impressed by that.
So as people come here, they're going to pull up the road from the I-15. They're going to cross the railroad because the town built up around the railroad. And you've got the Hotel Nipton, which looks like a fantastic vacation spot. And I notice there's some tents out back. This would be a good educational place to spend a family vacation, wouldn't you agree?
It's really an interesting place. Now, desert could be very beautiful. You know, pick and choose your time. Maybe you don't like the heat, don't come out here in
right,
summer.
Right, because in the summer there'd be rattlesnakes
right,
and
right
so forth.
Now it's very comfortable,
yeah.
It's nice and warm, and it's beautiful. Cactus are pretty.
Oh, it's cool today, yeah.
Oh, it's just beautiful. And
you've also got the cafe, you've also got the trading post, and you also have the old school.
Well, there's a lot to see. When you first drove up, you know, there's just three buildings here,
mm-hmm.
and there's a trading post, there is a... cafe, and then there's a hotel,
mm-hmm.
but what caught my attention, well, there's a little schoolhouse too in the back,
little
but
schoolhouse
you wouldn't
the
know it until you get back there,
right.
But what really caught my attention is this beautiful garden in front of the hotel.
Yeah.
Apparently, historically, there was a garden there already, and I'm not sure who did that garden, but if you look online to the...
Oh, there's a picture of it.
The Nipton, Gateway to Mojave National Preserve website, which is www.nipton.com/history.html. It shows you pictures of the past and all the wonderful history that we don't have time to go into today, but you do see that the hotel was there and there was some kind of beautiful garden in front. Now, there's a beautiful garden in front right now. There are what's considered naturalscape, xeriscape. I mean, it's just gorgeous.
It's what you'd call a cactus and stone garden, right?
Well, it's a beautiful rock garden with cactus or cactus with rock. It is a combination of carefully placed rocks that are found locally, but they're beautiful rocks,
uh-huh.
different sizes. And there are some artwork that are done by the local artists, and everything's carefully placed, but it's kind of like... naturalized, it's just wonderful. You have to see it, and it doesn't require additional watering because it's from the local plants. And I imagine maybe in the springtime you might want to pull a couple of weeds out because we haven't been here in the springtime. But I just find delight in this little garden, and there's some beautiful artwork done by ordinary objects as well that they weld together.
And so, plus old rusty objects.
Oh, beautiful! Just
yeah.
It's a whole feel of it when you walk there.
You got a truck coming
oh.
back. Well, no, that's not
oh,
a truck.
Wow.
That's a big bus with a boat behind it.
Well, that's a little vacation is coming back. Now, this will be a great stop for people to stop by before they head to the Mojave Desert Preserve, because maybe that's what these people are coming out
mm-hmm.
from.
I'm assuming we're going to get maybe a cool drink inside the, what's it called, the Whistle Stop Cafe?
Yes, we might do that. But I think this will be a great place for anybody to stop by if they're going up to Vegas, you know, just take this. The 10 mile didn't take long at all.
It didn't
it
take
wasn't
long.
Congested.
Right.
And or if you go to the Mojave Preserve, they can come by here and check it out. So we're gonna go check out the trading post.
Wow, the trading
maybe
post.
Maybe a cafe and then maybe the hotel and see what else we can find out and
right.
talk to people and see what they know about.
Would you like to we have a historical marker here. Why don't we see what it says and maybe we could do a little walk in the rock garden. Would you like to do that?
Okay, well, let's go.
Okay.
Okay, so you spotted this historic...
what is this, a historic plaque?
Plaque. Well, they... Let's see. Well, they built it really strong. It's a big thing of concrete with a bronze plaque on it, and it says Nipton.
Nipton. The town of Nipton was born on February 9th, 1905.
That makes it, what, slightly 100 years old, huh?
106 years old. Originally called Nipino Camp, after a nearby gold discovery. So look at there's a complicated story about how the name Nipton came about. people could look that up online, right?
Yes, and because, you know, even this plaque that indicates some of the significant dates and such, really doesn't cover all the interesting stories behind how this town even came about and how the railroad actually came through here. And it's interesting, you know, it's just that folks should look that up because,
yeah,
you know, it that would be a two-hour talk by itself.
Right.
So, but here's the plaque here.
They could come and check it out.
Right.
You
and
know,
then just not far from there is the garden that we're going to go look at.
You know, what I found interesting, Helen, when we were back at the I-15, we actually could see Nipton, but we didn't know it was Nipton. Remember the train that was going by?
We did see the train, and then we see this. Oh, yeah, if you're going, if you, just for the one who's decided to come visit, when you started from the I-15 going toward Nipton, you actually see a little patch of green from a distance.
That's
with the
right.
road going there.
And the train goes right by
and
it.
And that's where it is.
That's where it is. So look at, isn't this interesting?
So here we are. We're now in front of the Hotel Nipton, and here's this. I keep saying beautiful because sometimes I'm just like, how else am I going to describe
this? I'd call it a rock the garden, right? Because there's cactus here, and there's little paths lined with these big chunks of white quartz, right? And that looks like Stonehenge, doesn't it?
It's got lots of creativity, lots of work that they have put in.
And yucca on the side.
And yucca. Watch out for the yucca. And so this is really awesome. Now, the path is basically designated by carefully placed rows of rocks, and then you can kind of see the vegetation in between.
Oh, I bet this all grows with desert wildflowers in the springtime.
Well, we need to come back in springtime.
Yeah.
And you've got cactuses. Let's go look at some of the...
There's unique artwork
unique
here, too.
Unique artwork that we mentioned about.
And what is that black rock? Do you know?
Well, I think that's just a big, beautiful black rock they put in the middle.
Look at, look at the blue on it. There's like a black rock.
That looks like paint.
Oh, okay, paint.
They got some paint on that one to give it to
you. I thought it was a volcanic
rock.
Maybe
they found it that way. Well, it looks like a volcanic rock.
No, it's been splashed. It looks like, that looks like a huge chunk of obsidian or something.
It's a chunk of volcanic rock.
And somebody splashed blue paint on it.
Maybe they found it that way. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know it. Now, somewhere there's the name of the artist. I want to go find it.
Where do you want to go? This way? Okay. Okay, here's a little plaque. What's that say?
It says Ken
Trongo,
1939 to 2006. Let's see where this row goes.
Oh,
so
you know what I think that
dedication.
Is? I think his ashes are right there. Ken Trongo, 1939 to 2006. Did they either put his ashes here, or it's a dedication to...
I think it's a dedication. We can assume that.
And it's a steering wheel with a palm tree and a little plaque to Ken Trongo. So Ken Trongo, wherever you are, let's take a look at that one.
And then, look, there's another one over there. Let's go over there and see what that one is.
Where are we heading? Oh, over to...
We're heading over there. We might want to stay in the path here.
Yeah, we're getting off the path here. This is really... It's like a little maze in here.
It reminds me of one of those herb garden in Europe where they kind of form geometric shapes. So I would love to see this from the air because it does have some kind of symmetry.
It's almost
a centerpiece, a platform, like a mosaic, a rectangle with design
with
in it,
with
rocks.
With a rectangle with a diamond
in it. And
then
the rest of the garden do resemble those herb garden
European
in Europe
herb
where
there are
patches of earth forming certain kind of pattern. And so... what this is, but it looks like metal. It's maybe some kind of part of an old.
It looks like an old muffler for a truck or something. Something from a air conditioning unit or something. Hear that? It's some old metal thing.
Yeah, and then I really like that the glass could be bird feeder.
Let's go take a look.
It's got blue glass or something on it.
Oh yeah, somebody made. Looks like a tabletop. Then
but it's got all kind of broken glass and chinaware that maybe they found throughout the desert, and they cemented in it. It's beautiful, isn't
it? Looks
it?
Like old-fashioned blue bottles.
Oh, the colors, absolutely.
So it's a creative way to make a table, as long as you don't cut yourself. It looks like there's no sharp edges on the top.
Well, I don't think this is really for eating.
Yeah, it's true. It's just for decoration.
It's really for decorative, but it's lovely. It's got bright colors and good combination.
And let's go look at that centerpiece. Somebody put a lot of thought into this thing.
That mosaic design.
Yeah, but the rocks that are in here, I mean, if you're a rock hound, see, Helen, isn't this copper? when you see, this is like a little nugget that looks like it's covered with green. Copper oxidizes into a green color.
Possibly that's what it is.
Yeah.
So here's the beautiful mosaic of inlaid quartz and all kinds of
different. It looks like it could be there's the brown agates.
And there's some.
Yeah, somebody went to a lot of trouble.
Look at
volcanic
that
rock. Oh yeah, that's clearly volcanic rocks. Yeah. It's black and it's pitted. And different kinds of quartz, different adulterations in the quartz. It's a beautiful.
And what's interesting, look at the ants there.
Oh.
Because of the nature of the material and how they did this, it's still a habitat for the animals. So that's what I like about it, you know.
Those are big ants.
Those are big ants.
Those ants.
Okay, well, let's see now. Shall we try to see anybody is in the hotel?
Okay, why don't we walk just there? Around this way? There might be somebody willing to say hi. Okay. So we're outside the Nipton Hotel, and the chairs are beautiful.
I love that chairs all made of wood and twine and rope.
Looks like they took desert logs and they roped it together, and it looks very comfortable. And then there's this outside patio that looks like an overhang Ramada that you'd see in a country western movie.
Yeah.
And
that wooden floor is just.
The chairs are facing
really,
to the.
Really
I think
awesome.
That's the south, isn't it? Yeah, they're facing to the south, so it's going to get some shade. And there's an old cistern there in the back. Remember, this is a large town of 38 population.
So the three buildings plus the schoolhouse, they all have been here for a long time, with the schoolhouse being the oldest, but it's just been somehow kept up all these years, and it's really adorable and charming, and so we're going to see if there's anybody inside that we can talk to.
Okay, let's give it a try. Well, we're peeking in the door.
Anybody here?
We're peeking in the door of the Nipton Hotel. It looks like nobody's home today, but look at that wood stove. They're very self-reliant here.
Awesome stove.
An old wood stove that you can cook on, and there's a beautiful leather-bound couch and tile floor. This is like an old world type hotel. It's small, it's quaint, and the folks are probably out in the fields or doing something else, but nobody's at home right now at the Nipton Hotel, but when you come, I would suggest if you want to stay here, you call first and make a reservation.
Yeah, but it's worth coming to visit. It's lovely.
So, we're in the Nipton Cafe, and we see two visitors. What are your names?
I'm Leslie.
Leslie.
And Don.
And Don, and they came on a beautiful Harley over there. Are you guys just traveling around?
Yeah, just like an overnight trip.
And what actually brought you guys to Nipton?
Well, this is just the route we took, and how can you not stop here? It's just too cool not to.
But you hadn't heard of Nipton before?
Had no idea.
That's interesting. How do you like it? So now that you've made it,
it's pretty neat. It's a neat place. As far as we're concerned, you just have to stop here.
The view is incredible. You can see all the way to the mountains beyond the I-15.
Yeah, and then it's got some history here too.
Have you guys ever heard of the Nipton Troll?
No.
Okay, that's what brought us here. We read an article, a 35-year-old newspaper article about a guy who lived under the culverts at the I-15.
Really?
Oh, wow.
But he actually didn't live in Nipton. And did you guys know that this is the most solar city in America?
Oh, no.
Per capita.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
per capita.
You know what the population is?
Not very many.
38 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So 85% solar.
But they're 85% solar.
Yeah, again, per capita.
Yeah,
well, where are you folks been coming from?
We live in Apple Valley.
Oh, really? So we're down in the Los Angeles area. We're not actually too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're heading back down there. And how far did you go on your trip?
We went up to Boulder City.
Yeah.
Boulder
Dam.
City, uh-huh.
To see the Hoover Dam.
And so you came through Las Vegas.
Yeah, we didn't want to go the route of 15 because it's always so trafficy. So he found the alternate route. And we said, okay, Nipton. And then we saw the sign in the little, the little town, and we were like, we have to stop. So we stopped. And
did you come the back way or come off of the I-15?
Off
of the I-15. Okay, very interesting.
Yeah.
And
we saw the history with Clara Bow being here and the little hotel here and then the whistle stop.
We know about the history only what we read online so far, but they say it's like a 100-year-old town, has a lot of history to it.
Yeah.
So did you guys like your lunch here? We've heard that they have the best hamburger in town here. Of course, this is the only hamburger place, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a sign that says voted best burger, so.
Yeah.
And they just opened yesterday, so they
seriously?
Must be pretty good.
Yeah.
This was shut down the last time we were here, so we may get a bite to eat, too.
That was really good, yeah.
Well, good. We're going to walk around, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Bye. So now we're meeting with somebody who works here at the Whistle Stop Cafe. And what is your name, ma'am?
Anna Marie.
Anna Marie. And do you live in Nipton?
No, I do not.
And you live where again?
Cal Nevaeh.
And where is Cal Nevaeh?
11 miles south of Searchlight.
11 miles south of Searchlight, which means what, 30 miles from here?
Yes.
So in the winter, does it take you a long time to get to Nipton?
I don't know. I've only been here about 4 days.
Oh, so you're a newcomer to Nipton. Okay. So do you know, are people asking you about the history of Nipton?
I've been reading up on it. It's pretty unusual. It's a small town in the middle of nowhere. There's solar. There's Wi-Fi. They seem to be really a lot more technology advanced than I thought they would be.
Helen didn't like it when I said Nipton is in the middle of nowhere.
It is.
Well, it kind of is, all right? It really is surrounded by vast desert, right?
But it's beautiful, and it's peaceful.
Yeah.
It is really relaxing.
But the population's 38. On average, there's about 100 people around, maybe you'd say?
It depends. I mean, we had about 100 bikes come in here on Sunday, motorcycle riders.
A lot of motorcyclists come through here, yeah. And so what brought you to Nipton?
The restaurant. We just opened the restaurant.
Oh, because you just opened it. Right, yeah. Right. That's very good.
We'll be glad you opened.
yeah, it's great. Now, you know about the solarization of Nipton?
Yes.
It's the most solar city in America.
Yes.
Per capita.
Per capita.
Per capita.
Because of the 9 people.
No, the 38 people, 38 not the people. 9 people. 39 people. And we read online that this is voted the best hamburger. Is it in Nipton or the best hamburger in the county or in the state?
I think it's the best in the country.
The best in the country.
Oh.
Okay.
No, it's a good half-pound handmade hamburger with fresh ground beef.
Okay. Mm.
And it's mesquite smoked. It's smoked brisket. It's good. It's a good burger.
We were recommending that people start considering Nipton as a all-around vacation spot.
Uh-huh.
So if the family comes with the children, what kind of activities are there to do in Nipton?
Well, there's a desert preserve here. They can learn a lot about nature.
You could learn at the desert preserve. Mm-hmm. That means you drive through and just get a book, right?
Yep.
And anything else?
Eat.
You can eat here at the Whistle Stop Cafe.
We actually have people coming out to go dirt bike riding.
Okay.
It's a good family activity.
And are there any children in the Nipton school?
No, it's no longer being used as a schoolhouse.
I see. It's just a historical site.
Right. Now it's a meeting house.
Okay. So there's no movie theater in Nipton?
No.
No Jack in the Box in Nipton?
Nope. But the best hamburger.
The best hamburger. You know what? If somebody wanted to go shopping at Target, is there a Target down the street?
There is nothing around here.
Yeah, it's a very small town. Like I said, would you say the whole town took us about 10 seconds to drive through? And the power station took us about a second or half a second?
Something like that. However, there might not be any human things, you know, human-made things in Nipton, but you just, like she said, look at this place. You look out, it's one of Mother Nature's best. It's the most beautiful desert out here.
It's peaceful. Sit out here and I want to go to sleep. I've never been to such a more peaceful place than this. And then the train goes by and it's really neat to hear the whistles blowing. And
that's why it's called Whistle Stop Cafe.
Is your town where you live below Searchlight bigger than Nipton?
Yes.
And how much bigger?
We have about 400 residents.
Okay, see, I lived in a small town of 3,000. You could admit, I mean, I thought I was living in a small town. So tell me the name of the town again, where you're from?
Cal Nevaeh.
Cal Nevaeh. I think I've seen the signs. And
so, this you've just been here 4 days? How's your life so far?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, but you're going to go back to Cal Nevaeh tonight.
Yes.
And is there Jack in the Box or Target or any of that in Cal Nevaeh?
There is a coffee shop, a bar, and casino.
There is a casino there. Oh, you're on the Nevada
We're
side.
On the Nevada side.
Yeah. Okay, and we estimated that we're a mile from the Nevada border. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So just down the road a piece.
Right.
Where those cars? Is it where the road turns from red to white?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that was my guess.
Where the good road turns to good road.
For someone who's only been here 4 days, you know a lot.
She's a local though. She just lives 20 miles down the road. It's not like
30.
She came from 30 miles down the road. Not like she came from Kansas
this
or something.
This actually is a big spot for lottery tickets. I don't know. You get a lot of people coming here because it's the closest place in California that come for lottery tickets.
We read something like that.
I don't get that. They said there are more lottery tickets sold here than anywhere.
Believe so.
Even more than, is it more than Los Angeles? How is that possible?
Because we're the closest one. They come from Arizona, Nevada.
Oh.
Oh, they come from the other states and they probably buy big.
Right.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
Well, we better let her go back to work.
Okay, because we know you're working here. Thank you very much. And your name again was?
Anna Marie.
Anna Marie. So if you come to the Whistle Stop Cafe, Anna Marie will serve you the best hamburger in all of North America, let's say.
And the best smile. The best smile I've seen all day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anna Marie. Hey, here's a little red, here's a little brown and white boxer. Hey, come here, fella. He's the guard of the... Hear that? He is the guard of the Nipton Cafe. Hey, fella, come here. Come here, fella. So we've got a little guard dog outside the Nipton Whistle Stop Cafe. What's your name, guy? You hear that, guy? He's guarding the Nipton Cafe from all ne'er-do-wells. Hey, good boy. Good boy. Good guy. All right, all right. You guard away. That's the guard dog of the Nipton Cafe.
Shelby.
I just learned that the guard dog is named Shelby. Very good, Shelby. See you later. See you next time we come to Nipton.
Sure, say hello, Steve.
So we're inside, what is this, the Nipton Trading Post?
Yes.
And it looks like a historical place. There's an old stove. And we're in here today is?
Laura Velasquez.
So Laura Velasquez is working the counter. And is this a historical building?
Yes. Built in the 1800s.
Really?
Original building. Original structure.
Was it a store originally?
Yep.
So this is all like original Nipton.
Wow.
Is that stove part of the original outfit?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Because there's like a, what is that, 4-foot wood stove. It looks like the type you see in old military barracks.
It is a military one. It has the U.S. Army on it.
Really?
Yeah.
So we're going to walk around and check out the store and the old, look at the old pickle barrels where they have the candy in.
No, I just want to say something that not only the store looks charming, it's got wonderful, wonderful things that makes very good gifts, and also a resource, what I consider a resource library, the books they carry about the local area, the natural history and all that. So this is definitely a place you might want to stop and do some shopping for the upcoming holidays or a birthday, because it's got some really unique items here, anywhere from outfit to handmade crafts to books and ladies' jewelry.
And the last time we came through here, we bought like $70 of books. They have really good... whoever buys the books, it's a small but really select collection
of
books.
Very specific set of good items. So we're going to walk around and see what we see.
And very good Native American jewelry.
They got some beautiful...
So when people hear this, it is not too soon to drive to Nipton for Christmas shopping. Right? Seriously. You have some. Where do you get the Native American jewelry? Do you have local vendors that come here? Not sure. Okay. Okay. But we really like the jewelry. Okay, thank you very much. We're going to walk around a little bit. So we've got a pickle barrel of M&Ms, and the jewelry is awesome. We're over by the jewelry section now. And
now, first of all, you said there's a wonderful thing about Native American jewelry. Now, there is a small section of the traditional Native American jewelry that I'm just totally drooling over. Look at that.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Right.
And then there's some modern things that are absolutely delightful, too. So we don't want the audience to think that, you know, they carried just one type of Native American jewelry. There's some really interesting modern stuff that are done by Native Americans. And also from other parts of the world, they really have a interesting collection of unusual items here. So it's really...
It's a broad selection.
Wonderful, great. And look at these signs. They even have...
These like Depression-era signs.
You know, replica signs. They do have some arts and crafts.
I mean, this is not like a warehouse, folks. This is like a country... trading post store, but it's worth going to. Look at the old bottles as a museum.
Lots of things to
see. And some of these guys.
Now this looks like somebody took cactus.
They took a cholla, and they put little. They take a cholla and they put the spines inside out, and then they make it so that it. Now, does this actually cause it to rain when you do this in 24 hours?
No, this just makes you feel good, like if you were like listening to the rain. So it's very therapeutic.
Plus, it's for ceremonies and things. And then you have your greeting cards and
look
things
at
like this.
Beautiful art.
Beautiful T-shirts, and then the book selection. I know you particularly like, Talon. Let's take
like
a look at what
book.
They have here.
I do. They have great selections here.
So
Look,
all of your desert type books you have actually.
Discover Historic California.
You have some Tom Brown field guides. Hey, I don't see any of my books here.
Finding Gold in the Desert.
Gold Prospector's book. Wilderness
Tom
Navigation.
Book.
Where a lot of gold stuff. Geodes. How to find them.
They even have a book on the Harvey Girls.
What the heck is the Harvey Girls? Women who opened the West.
That's great. You celebrate the women in history. And look at this, something about the National Preserve in the Mojave.
Oh, we bought this book last time. This is
right,
East Mojave Diary
interesting.
By Bob Osmus. He apparently grew up around here, and there's stories of the desert from the
and
old days.
Tales of the Mojave
and
Road.
Little maps and things.
Now,
it's fascinating. Yeah, we bought that
anywhere.
Book. I think the author Osmus produced this himself.
There's
it's hardcover.
There's rock pounding books, and they're just interesting things that you won't see anywhere else. So,
oh, look at that.
Quite a few natural history items.
Here's a plastic-coated field guide to the cactus and shrubs.
Here's a book about searchlights.
Yeah, it's actually a very good localized
some
book
desert
selection.
Wildflowers, and turn around, and there's more.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of things about, look at Flower Watcher's Guide. Insects.
Pictograph books, Guide to the Pictographs. This is a really good place to come and to see what's here locally if you get out to Neptune Ever.
Look at this, Indian Uses of Desert Plants.
Hey, who's the author of that one? James Cornett. Thumb through there. Let's see what's in there. Okay, good color photos. Hey, I like this book. Gourds, jojoba, juniper, mesquite.
It's not intimidating to read. And then look at this big, giant book of rock hounding.
Fee mining and rock hounding adventures and lists. I'm going to buy this book, Helen. Indian Uses of Desert Plants.
And then there's
see if I can learn something new.
There's all kinds of natural
Keepers of the Caves.
Books. The Caves.
Keepers of the Caves by Jack Mitchell.
You wanted to take them all home, don't you? Me
too. No, I have this one, Desert Wildflowers by Edmund Jaeger.
It's a good collection of books that you wouldn't just find in a regular bookstore. And if you people who shop on Amazon, you might not even know these books existed, see? So it's a great collection and just wonderful.
100
Look at this Cowgirls Cookbook.
Cowgirls Cookbook, okay. The
it's
Chili Lovers Cookbook.
Interesting things
Authentic
here.
Southwestern Cooking. Yeah, really good books. Okay, put it on pause. There goes the Nipton train. You can hear it rolling by. I don't know how many times a day that happens. People are standing around looking at it. Well, two people are. I don't see the end of it. I'm at the Nipton Trading Post. It's breezy out here. It's a nice day. Helen is still inside looking at some of the items in the trading post. Here comes the caboose. There she goes. And there's the Harley taking off. See you guys. So, here we are down in the... Is this the main drag through Nipton? I guess it would be.
Well, let's see now. This is how do you describe it? It's not quite a wooden shack. It's really nicely built.
It's nicely built. It's not quite
but
a log cabin.
But it's old, and
look at the wood board. This is old west sidewalk. It's like railroad ties to get you out of the mud, right?
So this is apparently to be the old schoolhouse. And what's really cute about it is that I consider it has a very well-built, what you call that, outhouse?
An outhouse. Well, this would be the bathroom. Check this out.
I mean, it's fancy.
Right on the public street. Looks like boys and girls, right?
And I love how it has a plank with a hole where you would actually sit on.
You
and
sit
then,
on a chair and it has a hole on it.
And then things would fall below.
And people
so
take care of it out of the back end.
I am looking at this and say, well, this is well built. And if I ever should need an outhouse, I would definitely use this for a model.
That's right. If the earthquake destroys the plumbing in Southern California, people could make one of these in their backyards and then raise earthworms in there to take care of the compost.
Well, you could put like what they do in Central America, some of the ecological toilets, whatever
right.
they call it.
This is an ecological toilet ahead of its time.
Put like dirt in a crate underneath, and then, you know, it goes down there, and it's going to cover with more dirt, and then that turn into sort of fertilizer later on.
Well, you know, while we're looking at this, I have a friend. He lives in this, it's a wooden little room, but I have a friend who lives in a place in the eastern United States, and they have, it's an ecological community, and they have an outhouse, and after each use, they simply put sawdust into it,
mm-hmm.
and he says it's waterless, and it makes really good compost, which they then use on fruit trees and things.
And it's just, it's so well built, and even the height of the sitting area is perfect.
Right.
And I can see this could be really nice outdoor plumbing. Yeah.
But in this case, it has to be kept clean. It looks like there's black widows around the seat there, right?
Well,
see that webbing?
That's because it's not being used.
Right, it's not being used
so
right now.
So I'm just like, I look at this, it's like, this is more or less like a wooden pit toilet, sort of speak.
That's what it is.
But somehow it just looks more comfortable. Comfortable than a pit toilet we're used to when we go camping.
Right. And this is right next to the schoolhouse, so this is where the children would have gone to the bathroom. And look at the incredible schoolhouse. This is apparently a historical monument.
I understand that they really try to keep as much as the original wood and then kind of reinforce it with some modern-day fixture. You can see where the shiny metal pieces are still holding up the schoolhouse.
Right,
and
they use some straps to hold the roofing up. It's basically
trying to keep the old stuff.
Looks like an old structure, and then there's a ramada for shade. And we read on the website, wasn't there some, the big controversy in Nipton was about 100, was it 100 years ago or less?
Oh, you know, I have to look that up. But the
raging controversy in Nipton was when they built the schoolhouse. It turned out it was on some land that somebody else had a mineral claim on, so they had to get the man to, I think the man, we wrote the man's name down, Treherne, right?
A little bit hard to pronounce.
Mr. Harry Treherne or Treherne?
Yes. Now, in 1930 to 1933, schoolhouse built to Nipton, made of concrete with galvanized steel roof, and the builder believed to be instrumental, I mean the Harry Treherne believed to be instrumental in this construction. So there's some controversy in 1934 over the schoolhouse located on some settlement claim. It's, again, that website is full of information. Can you imagine that we now have what's controversial about
in the town of 38.
You know, nowadays in L.A., but where to build a school, and then back in the old days when this Woody was just out in the desert of nowhere, and they have a problem with that, too.
If that's the controversy. That's the least of their problems. Hey, let's walk to the end of this little walkway.
I'm amazed this is still very solid.
Yeah. Well, it could have been rebuilt up. But as we're at the end of this structure here, we're looking down. See the long silver lines out there on the edge of town, which is about that's 50 yards away. That's not very far. That's the power plant for Nipton. We're looking at it here from the edge of town, and it looks like it's half the length of a football field, maybe. But there's a couple of rows.
Oh, I don't think it's quite that long.
You're probably right. I'm just from what we see here is maybe what a quarter of a football field long, and it's these long tubes facing the sun. And that's their power plant. And over to the right, that's probably where some of the residents of Nipton live. There you see a house there and a trailer and tall eucalyptus trees for shade. Looks like mostly it's been planted in eucalyptus trees, wouldn't you think?
And well, there are quite a few eucalyptus out here. And
the tamarisks here and there.
And the tamarisks here and there. But overall, this is been a wonderful visit again.
And I'd like to come back. I hope people who are listening at least visit once. And look at this rock. We saw that somebody painted this up. It looks like three or four rocks. They threw together and put some mortar, and they painted it like a turtle. Let's see what it says. Look, there's a little plaque there.
There's
Let's
a little plaque
over.
There.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the... Well, there's a plaque, but it says nothing.
It's a...
It said something at one time.
Well, it looks like there used to be something here. Well... It adds to the mystery, and...
Let me show you one other way that somebody was very self-reliant here in the desert. They built this little square trough of some sort.
Look
what they used for supporting on the inside to support the 4x4s.
They bent license plate, car license plate, into L-shaped brackets, and that's how they hold this little
whatever the structure is. So there's
maybe a future planter. There's another one over there where they plant the flowers.
So their support metal straps was a bent license plate, which shows that the people of Nipton are truly
resourceful
and self-reliant. And again, we're in it's really a quaint, lovely town, America's most solar town.
Nipton, California.
Come California.
When you can.
And that little kitty is coming to say goodbye to us. So I think we're out of time, Helen. And
we got to get home.
We got to get home and get a little bite to eat and get back down.
Oh, let's go eat at the cafe.
We're going to go eat at the cafe. See you guys later.